Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. It's almost exactly 8 years since the British people made the fateful decision to leave the European Union. The referendum result in June 2016 triggered 4 years of fractious negotiations, leading to a trade and cooperation agreement which was signed in December 2020. Brexit doesn't have the same support it did in 2016, but there's still enough pro-Brexit sentiment to make the opposition Labour Party keep fairly quiet on the issue for fear of jeopardising their return to power after 14 years of Conservative governments or coalitions. So what does the July 4th general election mean for the UK and Europe? I'm joined by Dutch MEP Thijs Rooten from the Socialists and Democrats, who is in the Foreign Affairs Committee and the Delegation for Relations between the EU and the UK. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And I'm also pleased to welcome Sir Graham Watson, who was a British MEP for the European Liberals for 20 years. And he stood in this last election on an Italian list, as he holds Italian citizenship as well. Graham Watson, welcome to the programme. Just tell us your story briefly, because it's quite interesting that you used to be a British MEP and you just tried to come back.
I was here for 20 years, including a stint as chairman of the Justice and Home Affairs Committee and 7 years as leader of the Liberal group here. I had gone into retirement. I had not seen myself trying to come back. And I was approached at very short notice in February by the Italian Liberals, who said, "We're doing a new list. It's a pro-European list, and we need you as a candidate." And the trouble in politics is, if the call comes, you cannot really say no, even if you feel you've been out of it for a long time. So I agreed, and I must say I enjoyed the campaign in Italy. As I feared, the mood was swinging very much to the right, and I was not elected.
So you got 4%, was it?
4% is under the threshold, and our party failed to make the 4%.
And Thijs Rooten, just for our viewers who might not know, this parliamentary assembly that you're part of, what kind of things have you been working on in that group?
Well, we started to form that parliamentary assembly right after the final decisions were made, and it was intended to facilitate cooperation on the parliamentary level to also address issues that made were important to citizens on both sides of the North Sea, and I think we succeeded in putting on the agenda issues that are practical issues, such as the movement of artists, touring artists, but also some other practical issues. That is where we thought to start. And then also we had discussions, of course, with our colleagues every half year on the more bigger issues, on the issues in Northern Ireland, et cetera, et cetera.
And on the movement of artists, though, do you kind of wait for your cue from the British authorities if they want to take that forward? I mean, it must be difficult if you're not getting a lot of interest in certain things from the British side.
We have a role to play as Parliamentary Assembly together with our British colleagues to put things on the agenda of the European Commission and the British government in their regular meetings. They will have to respond to our advice and our the things that we propose. I regretfully, there's still not a solution. While I think, and our British colleagues think, that it is relatively easy to have a practical solution that works for these touring artists.
Let's get back to the Labour Party, which I mentioned at the beginning. And I want to read you a quote from Sir Keir Starmer in a debate with Rishi Sunak, the Conservative Prime Minister, setting out his position on Brexit, reiterating it. He said, "We're not going back into the single market, the customs union. We're not going back to freedom of movement. That is very, very clear and set out in our manifesto, because we did have a referendum. It split us down the middle, and we do not want to go through that again." Graham Watson, do you think that is something he's going to stay on, that position, or is it more of a kind of election position?
Well, I'm very disappointed that he is being so timid, because for a number of months now, the opinion polls have shown almost 70% of the British electorate believing that Brexit was a terrible mistake and that we should try, in some sense, to go back into the European Union, and that for the long-term health of the country, in economic terms in particular, but socially as well and diplomatically, we should be part of it. Starmer is being very, very cautious. He doesn't want to upset those who voted for Brexit, who were a majority, albeit a very small one. And one has to hope that if he's elected, as I think he will be, that in reality, in government, he will be rather more open to proposals to come back closer.
Just a quick point on that poll that you mentioned. If we look at who actually wants to rejoin, though, it's still 30-something percent. So maybe Labour is actually closer to where the majority of public opinion is. What do you think, Tashrefi?
Well, I think that he has a clear vision that what has gone wrong in the past more than a decade of destructive Tory government, I would say, that he wants to focus on repairing as much as possible of debt, giving Britain new hope, giving Britain new energy. So I do understand that he says, look, I do not want to spend the first new term in government after so many years of Tory government discussing how to do this again and the referendum. I do think that with some time passing by, there will be another debate. And I think that is the healthy way to do it, to get a thorough debate also among the British public, take some time for that, while at the same time, and I would be very much in favour, exploring the possibilities within the current situation to do more.
And maybe if we can focus on one of those things, I mean, you touched on this, musicians, perhaps seemingly symbolic to some people, but actually part of the broader debate about mobility, which is very important. Graham Watson, do you think there could be some progress made on that at least?
I think it would be very difficult. I mean, what the UK is wanting is to cherry pick, exactly, as it always did in the past. It voted, it decided to come out of the single market, out of freedom of movement. As a result, it has to live with the results. And I'm very sorry to say, but it will be almost impossible for UK musicians to tour. I think, however, the longer and the more deeper problem that Starmer has to face is this. Can he get the UK back into the European Union before the UK itself disintegrates? Because the real impact of Brexit is going to be a reunification of Ireland, not necessarily a bad thing, and quite possibly, it's not something I favour, but quite possibly the independence of Scotland.
Scottish Labour voters will be wanting Starmer to go much further on the EU than probably later Labour voters south of the border.
Indeed they will, because Scotland had a referendum in 2014 on independence. One of the arguments used by the unionists was that if they stayed in the UK, they stayed in the European Union. That has proven to be completely false.
And you were nodding, Tice, about when Graham was talking about cherry-picking. So even if we take, say, this veterinary agreement, which the Labour Party is talking about, does that sound to you like they want to cherry-pick a bit and but then say, oh, but we don't want the European Court of Justice to be involved in that?
Well, exactly. But the main issue is that the new Labour government, hopefully soon in office, will have to understand that they will have to come up with a story to the European Union why it is interesting for the European Union. I mean, I want this closer relationship. I am very much in favour of that. But at the moment, the agreement is what it is. There will not be a renegotiation of this agreement. There might be possibilities for special forms of cooperation to lift certain difficulties for trade. But that needs to be attractive also for the EU. The UK has to come with an offer that, that is interesting enough to sit around the table. And then there might be a perspective of doing something together. But indeed, the EU will not go for a la carte situation where the UK can choose what it will join or what it will not join.
So a possible agreement on student exchange, does that raise the question of immigration, which is so difficult for, well, all political parties?
It does. Immigration remains a political issue in the United Kingdom, as indeed right across the continent. What we've seen is not a reduction in immigration, but a change. Previously, migrant workers came from Eastern Europe. Now they're coming from Southeast Asia. But the number has not reduced at all. And the reason is the economy needs them.
As just about every promise that was made back in the time of Brexit has not been delivered on, these lies that were spread have brought us to this situation. And that is, I think, one of the important things also for the Labour government, aside of the cooperation with the European Union, they will have to, and they will tell, an honest story to the electorate, because the lying must stop. The lying of the campaigners pro-Brexit, but also the way that the Tories dealt with the aftermath of it, with I don't know how many prime ministers have gone by. It was not in the interest of Britain, and also not, fairly speaking, not in the interest of the European Union, because we needed to do more other things, working on security together, working on foreign policy, working on the Western Balkans. And we were distracted by internal infighting in Britain.
Speaking of security, there's been talk about maybe the UK joining some kind of security pact. Do you think that's something that could be on the table?
I think it makes eminent sense. And if you look at the response to the war in Ukraine, the UK, together with the Netherlands, very much at the beginning, saying, of course, we must support Ukraine. Of course, we must recognise the threat posed by Putin. And of course, we must work together. But having left the European Union made that working together much more difficult, much more complicated than it needed to be. And I hope there may be some opportunity to create fora in which we can work together on defence and security issues. It's not, however, in the long term, a substitute for the UK being back in political Europe.
No. But although the official position is that there is no agreement on foreign policy and security cooperation, I do know, and everybody knows, that every day they are sitting together, and I'm glad that they are. And I'm glad that the UK is so involved in our collective efforts for Ukraine.
Thank you so much to both of you, Sir Graham Watson and Thijs Roten. That's all for this debate. Thank you for watching us here on Talking Europe.